Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry I'm a little late. I had a honey disaster at Walmart. There's honey all over Walmart now because of me. So. It's like, well, there's something sticky on the bottom. And then I look down and there's just a puddle of honey.
It's okay. So.
It's okay.
So, every bag, don't touch anything in my truck, every bag, and then other disasters ensued after that. Pickle jar broke, and it's been a moment. You know, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. I know why. I called Summer and said, "You're gallivanting off in Cincinnati, and I'm over here swimming in pickle juice and honey." So that's where I've been. So we'll call our meeting to order. This has been announced, and we've been looking forward to this time for quite some time. Does everybody who wants one, do they have a copy of the document that we're talking about praying about?
If you want a copy, raise your hand, bring a copy of it.
Oh. You didn't give your wife a copy?
No. Okay.
So this is the proposed new guidelines for the church as far as our operations. Do we need more? As far as the operations go, it's very similar to the one that we've been operating under, except we're kind of eliminating the voting perspective. We believe that the scriptures teach an elder-led church model. And so this document resembles that. Hopefully you've had time to look through it, and are there any questions that you have regarding the document? Alton?
No. I've been attending the church regularly since my membership. Until last Sunday, I had never heard the term membership.
Okay.
And I had never heard from anyone that I needed to consult with an elder before I attended. So, with that being said, there's things on here for discussion and there's things on here for possible action, which I think is a voting process.
Right.
I would assume that the voting is for members only.
Correct.
And with that being said, I think I'm going to dismiss myself.
Well, I would encourage you not to dismiss yourself. I would encourage you to stay here and listen to what's being said. I think it'll be helpful for you in the end. And then I do have a devotion related to, this is not the only thing we're going to do. We're going to study the scriptures tonight. So I would encourage you to stay throughout the business and then the Bible study at the end. Judy?
If he wants to be a member, can we do that before we do this?
Well, no. According to the agenda that we have, there's a new process for membership. And one of the reasons, Alton, to be honest with you,
is... But that's not in this. That's in this, not the old one.
Yes, it is.
It's in the old one.
It's in the old one.
The church body has to vote on membership.
Yeah.
That's one of the issues with the bylaws.
Well, so...
The meetings used to be in the church afterwards on Sunday when there were more people. And that's... The church is here. Why can't we vote tonight with... a majority, if this is all that are going to come from the membership meeting.
Okay. We could, but it's not on the agenda until later on. The adoption of the new document processes how members are going to be invited into the congregation.
If he wants to be a member and we're still working on the past, and this is the body that wanted to come, if does he want to?
Well, there's an agenda item that will cover that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So we're talking out of turn right now, so we have to follow the agenda.
Okay.
So we'll get to that.
So
okay.
So To be honest with you, Alton, the reason that you haven't heard the term member is because that's on me. Because I wasn't sure that church membership was biblical. And we needed, as elders, to come to an agreement, to a place where we found in the scriptures, is this something the way that we should operate? Here's what we found. No. We don't know how church membership was conducted in the scriptures. We don't know exactly, did they vote, how they installed elders, how they installed deacons. We don't have that information. The key has been the state of Nevada wants us to operate in a certain way because we're an entity, an organization, and so we've had to go along with the state in our formation. The formation says that you will have a constitution and bylaws that you voted on. You will have officers of the organization. And so that's kind of the way we've been operating. Church membership, to me, it's like reading someone's obituary and they say, this person was a member of Smith Valley Baptist Church. And I said, I never met that person. I don't know who they are, you know. Do they come to our church? Are they a regular attender? Are they a faithful attender of our church? Okay, then I would consider you a member. However, the state of Nevada says you will have membership. You will have a constitution and bylaws. And so we've been operating kind of under those premises. And so in order to get more in line with what we believe the scripture teaches, that's what this document is. And we're welcoming members, of course, but at the same time, we want to guard the membership of our church also. So hopefully that makes sense. Carol?
Well, I think in Timothy, it addresses deacons and elders.
It does.
It should be.
It does.
So it does. And then also it says, I think, I can't remember where, but 3,000 people were added.
Yeah.
They did take account of membership.
Yeah.
That speaks to me of membership. When they
How were they added? Were they voted on?
It did not.
We don't know. Right.
But it did address it, that so many were added.
Yeah. But it's not called members.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and for the past several weeks, we've been going through on Wednesday nights how deacons are selected, how they're processed, how we put them in place in those positions. And so, you know, in order for us to try to move this along, there was not a good Sunday to just have a meeting. And I don't want you to see us holding this meeting on Wednesday night as trying to push something through. We've announced it several times. I believe the core of the church comes on Wednesday nights. I think that's important. I think Wednesday night Bible study is an important time in the life of our church. And I think if you are, you know, you're serious about being committed to our church, you'll be here on Wednesday nights.
Majority of people come on Sunday.
Of course they do. But, okay, but we have a lot of people who come who are not involved in the church operations. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of people here on Sunday who I would not call the core of the church. Doesn't mean they're not members or they don't belong to our church or that sort of thing, but they're not involved in this kind of administration kind of stuff. Wednesday nights is a growing time. It really is a spiritual growing time. It's the opportunity we get to dig into God's Word together. Like, Sunday mornings, they're good. Worship, corporate worship is good. It's valuable. It's important. It's a priority. But when you come to Bible study or small groups, something different happens. You get involved in the church operations.
We're studying with you, not yes. being preached at.
Right.
We're with you.
Yeah.
And not that that's bad. I mean, that preaches. That's it. I just yeah. want to. We're involved.
I also attend a Bible study on Sunday morning.
Yeah. And you get value out of that, don't
absolutely.
You?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It isn't always convenient to come on Wednesday.
Well, it doesn't have to be convenient. It has to be a priority. That's it, you know. It's not convenient to have a baby at the geriatric age of whatever Sam is, but she's been called a geriatric mother. I didn't say that, okay? I did not say that.
You just said it.
But I'm repeating what the doctor said, okay? It's like, Sarah, come over here, would you? but it's what God has for us. This is where we are in church life. And as time gets closer to the return of Christ, you think doing church is hard now? Just wait. Just buckle up. It's going to get more difficult. All right? Is there any other discussion about the new Constitution, Bylaws, Guidelines, Foundation?
Well, I have a question on number 3,
sure.
Statement of Faith. This is based on the Apostles' Creed. But this appears to be selective rather than all of what is addressed in the Apostles' Creed.
Okay, well, is there something unbiblical there that you see? Okay.
But it's selective. You didn't take all of it in the Apostles' Creed.
Well, we didn't go by the Apostles' Creed. We went by the Scriptures. That's what we look for. It seems pretty straightforward to me.
Well, you've given it.
Is there something we should have put in that you felt like we left out?
We believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. There's a lot more addressed in the Apostles' Creed, where it isn't addressed here.
But we didn't copy the Apostles' Creed.
Excuse me?
We didn't strive to copy the Apostles' Creed. We were just developing our mission statement of faith. Tina?
No, I was just going to say you have reiterated all of this for the last 2.5 months, and I think, and you have announced it every Sunday that we were going through this, and so I think it was important for anyone that was interested in this process to be there.
Would be a part of that.
Sure. Yeah.
The Apostles' Creed looks like it's Catholic. What is that?
It's a document that came out of Trenton. Am I right?
Yeah,
Council of Trent.
The Council of Trent. You know, I don't have the Apostles' Creed memorized. I didn't memorize it when I was a kid. I didn't go through that process. The Scriptures is hopefully the guide for our statement. Tim?
So, I didn't want to speak out of turn. Are we discussing the document right now?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Constitution, bylaws, any questions regarding?
I'm not sure we can do that without a motion.
Yeah.
We need to get...
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the document?
I have a motion to accept the document.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, question or discussion? Now we're good?
Yeah.
Tim?
I had a question about the document. So
okay.
When that takes place.
Perfect.
Okay. Membership. Someone gets baptized, can they become a member? Is that how that works? Is there an age limit on that? Say Aiden wanted to become a member. What are the qualifications for him to do that other than talking to an elder?
It's the elders. Under the new document, it would be the process would be going through the elders to become members of the church. Baptism doesn't necessarily qualify you for church membership or disqualify you from church membership. That's a separate issue. We believe that all people should be scripturally baptized. We believe that's in obedience to what Christ has said. But it doesn't qualify you or disqualify you for church membership. Out.
So is that from this day forward?
Say it again.
Is that from this day forward?
It would be under the new process of this document.
If you mentioned would that be from this day forward?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from today forward, you go through the process
with the elders. Correct. Yes, sir. Someone.
Perhaps you can just explain the process of meeting the elders, what the purpose of that is.
Just meeting the elders, giving your testimony that you're a believer of Christ, talking about the statement of faith that you come from, where what you believe, does it align with our church values and that sort of thing.
Let me share something that will speak to that will indicate maybe clarity and our intention to actually operate this way. I met with someone yesterday, had lunch with someone yesterday who has approached the elders, not me previously, but one of the other elders, about being a member of the church. Okay, so we hadn't had a chance to sit down with that person, okay, but I did that yesterday. And we had lunch together, met for 2 hours, okay? When I talked about share your profession of faith with me, your testimony about coming to Christ, about what that consisted of, and when it happened and all that, he gave me a fuzzy answer because he was fuzzy. I absolutely said, I'm fuzzy, as to was there a time that I can definitively say that. And he said, I want that. I want that to take place, but I can't say that's taken place yet. And I said, well, why don't you just keep coming? He's been coming to this church for 6 months, off and on. Okay, not every Sunday, not Wednesday nights, not coming to Bible study until recently. Okay, so we had this discussion, though. And I said, my suggestion to you would be to wait until you are sure that God has converted your heart. And I talked about it this way, because when you go to church, you know, the question is, well, where do I sign up? Well, you don't sign up, okay? That's not the approach we have here. Mm-hmm. The approach we take is that God is pursuing you, that God is the one who is after you. Mm-hmm. And when he catches you, and you know that he's caught you, and you understand that you're a guilty sinner who needs salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, when you understand that, you will readily say, I know that God has done work in my life. Explain that to him. He said, I agree.
Yeah.
He said, so I wait. And welcome to keep coming as long as it takes. You know, your aha moment, and that I don't like that. That's an Oprah Winfrey term. But the time that God gives you when you are in your heart knowing what he is doing is very important for you. Because a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, you don't need to be saying, I don't know if I'm truly saved or not. You know, I've just got so many questions. It wasn't clear when we'd rather, the elders, you wait, okay? So if God has done that work and you're just unclear on it, whatever we do is not going to change that.
Mm.
It's not going to keep you out of heaven. You know, it'd be better to be, to be intentionally waiting until you can say for sure. And that's what church membership is. The state could care less the way that we define church membership. They just want it defined in some way. I mean, they want to know, how do you do business? Do you vote? Who votes? Who don't vote? That kind of stuff. Who are your members? Who are not your members? That's what the state wants. They could care less how we get there. Okay? We do care how we get there. We have members who are born again, converted by the blood of Christ, faithful to God for the rest of their lives. That's who the membership of the church should be. Okay? Ideally, it's not always going to be that way, but that's what we want. So hopefully that clarifies it.
And you will. A membership in Smith Valley Baptist Church does not guarantee a spot in heaven. Okay? That's important to remember. That's important to remember. The Church Universal, membership in that church is vital. This is a local body, an organization, as far as, you know, the state's concerned, how do you operate, whatever, that sort of thing, has nothing to do with getting you into heaven. Any other questions? Discussion?
I can keep going.
Yeah? Keep going.
How would you define our church prior to tonight as
A congregational-led church.
Okay, so how we would meet in September, we would vote on whether we accept a new budget. What's that looking like going forward?
Yeah, so the budget is formulated by the stewardship team and reviewed by the elders. And that kind of process would keep on going. We would have an annual business meeting where we inform the church about what the budget is and where the money's being spent and how we're doing that. We wouldn't vote to install a new budget. It would just be installed upon the approval of the elders.
And you can voice your concern.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember Miss Linda talking about the lighting out here. And we fixed it, you know. It's not cutting the membership of the church out of deciding rights. It's inviting them to participate with the elders to help us discern how we can better follow Christ, what we need to do to help. So we would still have annual business meeting. I hate business meetings. I think they're dumb, but that's the way we operate. Any other questions? You want to keep going?
I'll come up with something.
I have a splitting headache. I've had a headache all day long. It's because this business meeting was looming, and I knew it. No, it's not.
Should have drank the pickles.
I've eaten several of those today, so. Any other questions, discussion? As far as the way the church operates, you're not going to see much difference, really. We've been transitioning over a period of several years since we installed elders. We've been transitioning to this kind of leadership. It's just taken a while for us to get there because we want to make sure that what we're doing is scripturally based. Not based upon man's ideas or man's best judgment. Yes, ma'am?
So don't look too far into this question, because I like what we have. But I remember a while back, they're talking of being a rotation of elders. Now, being that we're going to an elder-led church, I love what we have, but has that come up at all?
So in the new document, in the new constitution, that's not... You're either called or you're not.
Gotcha. No retirement.
And you get to die to retire.
Just like the Pope.
That's what happens.
Without that.
Bad example.
That was horrible. That was not good. Any other questions? There could possibly be a time where we need more elders, more deacons. And as God requires that of us, we'll hopefully be able to
go through that. A congregation involved thing or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like we're going to talk about deacons a little bit later on, but just like the deacons, the congregation will have input. Yes.
So our elders' meetings are open for those that may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
You can schedule to come to any one of the elders' meetings, and we've never turned anybody, I don't think, down yet who wanted to come. Haven't been a waiting line or a waiting list to come, but having said that, I think it's important to know that input, in other words, we don't want to end up in a situation where we got Joe Biden as one of the elders, and he don't know where he's at, and he's signing things with the auto pen, and I mean, you know.
That's the way I felt today.
There are cases where, you know, if a guy is been that all his life, he might not want to step down or whatever the case is, and it just comes a time where somebody has to. So input regarding that, the way to start that is not to go sideways, is to come to the elders and say that.
Really and truly, I believe, as clear scripture teaches, that's how we should address problems in the church. You go to the elders. And remember, it's not one accusation, it's two witnesses, right? It's a serious account to raise an accusation against an elder. Okay, that's fine. That being said, we should have that freedom to be able to be approached by our church membership. Listen, Hebrews talks about the leaders of the church. I don't know if you know understand the gravity of this, but the leaders of the church are to watch, just like the sheepdog is to watch over the sheep. And every time there's a wolf coming, he's supposed to bark. Or the Ezekiel watchtower, the guy in the watchtower, sound the alarm. There's a gravity to that, who watch over your souls. I don't take my responsibility lightly. If you're coming to my church, I have a responsibility over you to watch over your soul. That's important. That's not just your health and your livelihood. That's your eternality.
So that's why membership is needed.
Yes.
So you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. And you have the same regard to submit to that church leadership. You have the same regard. It's a mutual relationship God's called us into. It's a covenant relationship. And so I want you to hear what I'm saying. Is these elders, we pray for you. We look after your souls. That's the charge that God's put on our life. That's what we're here for. And you may not like it all the time. My kids don't like it all the time that I'm watching after them. You may not like it. You may perceive different things during events or whatever. But listen, the ultimate goal is we're going to get to heaven and we're going to give an account for how we led. And that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary. Because I know places I've failed and things that I've done wrong, and I have to give an account for that. That's scary. So it's a serious moment in the life of our church, but you're not going to see that much difference in the way that our church operates. You're not going to notice that much. Any other questions, discussion? Sherry.
So one of the things I noticed in here where it's like page 6, your clerk, your treasurer, your church committee, don't mention about they have to be members, but volunteer workers can be filled by non-members. Should all of those other positions be held by church members? It's not specific in these bylaws.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, the president, the treasurer, the vice president, or clerk, however you want to say it, has to be voted on yearly, annually. They do not have to be members currently, and we don't have that. I mean, Pete Foscha is our treasurer, and he's not a member of our church. He goes to that Vineyard church over there. I'm trying to convert him, but y'all pray for him. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, they don't have to be members.
Okay, it was specific to volunteers, so that's why I wanted to ask.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, and we have, like, Vacation Bible School teachers that are not members of our church. There would be some positions. Stewardship team, you probably need to be a member of the church. But there would be some positions that would be limited to members, but for the most part, no.
So if a member wanted to supersede, like, let's say, a teacher that was a non-member, would that happen?
I don't understand.
If someone came forward and said, Travis, I'd like to take over the fourth grade class, for instance, for VBS, and
yeah.
You're a member. And right now you have a person in there that's not a member.
Oh, I don't think membership would play a role in that. I think it would be who's God calling to do that. Yeah, I don't perceive membership being
so it would be a rotation
in the way of that. No.
And Travis, it sounds like two members would be contributing and providing input into these officer
yes.
positions.
Yeah.
Not necessarily required to be a member of the
Yeah, yeah.
On number four, on page six, it says, all appointees of the committee shall be church members in good standing. So if you're on a committee, you need to be a member.
The committees.
Yeah. So that would be the stewardship.
Constitution bylaws.
And the Constitution bylaws committee. And let me...
We need new committees that we might form.
And let me make this statement. This is a living document kind of thing, okay? It's going... There's no perfect document except the one that's right here, the Bible, okay? The American Constitution is not perfect. Ryan discovered that and told us that two weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect. So this is going to be a changing document, and that's going to be a living kind of committee, the Constitution bylaws. So if there's something that... and there are a couple of things that we're going to have to address, but there's something that needs to be addressed. We need to work through that with the Constitution and bylaws. But to be honest with you, if we didn't have to do this with our state, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. If you come to my church, I would say you're submitting yourself to the leadership of our church, and until you don't come to our church. It's not like you're being handcuffed and dragged here every Sunday morning, okay?
There are many people turned out.
Yeah, yeah. Olivia Bozick. If she were here tonight, I was going to pick on her. She said, I'm not signing anything. I said, we're not asking you to sign anything. But you're right. There are a lot of people who are turned off by the idea of church membership. What do you have membership in the church for? Aren't we all God's children? Okay, all right. We can address that theological problem, but according to the state of Nevada, this is, how do you govern yourself? What do you do?
The state requires this?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything the government gets involved in, it breaks.
You thought there was a separation of church and state.
Yeah, who said that? Jefferson.
It's not. It's
not. Any other questions, discussion? Okay, so you have a piece of paper in front of you.
Not all.
Huh?
Everybody have one?
If you, yes, members have this, okay. So yes or no, you want to adopt the new Constitution bylaws? And then Ryan and Gary will collect these.
Can they walk around with a pen also so we can mark it?
We're not that person.
Open the head.
Okay, while they're collecting those, let me give you an update on the deacon process. This is just an update. We're not going to vote or anything like that, but let me tell you how we perceive this is going to go down. The next couple of weeks, you'll be getting nomination slips passed out to you during church Sunday morning, probably in the bulletin. You'll get these nomination slips. If there's someone that you want to nominate for the position of deacon and you believe they're qualified for that, we are asking you to go talk to that person, tell them that you're going to nominate them, and then ensure that God is calling them to that position. And then you'll turn in your nomination slip to the elders. We'll collect those. And the elders will go through the interviewing process of the husband, the deacon, and his wife. Hopefully on May 26th, which is our regular scheduled elder meeting. And then at June 8th, we hope to install these new elders, new deacons in their positions. So,
nomination slips will be collected by May 18th.
May 18th. Yeah. May 18th.
At the end of the Sunday morning service.
Yes. So the nominations will be closed, and then the elders will conduct interviews after that. And June 8th, we should have deacons in place, which I believe is going to be a huge, tremendous help to our church. So, any questions about that?
Are you talking about slips? Are they going to be something like we just did?
It'll be a piece of paper, yeah.
So we're going to have that?
Yeah, hopefully you will go to that person, tell them you're nominating them, ask them if it's if they feel like they want...
We're going to have a slip of paper?
Yes.
Where do we get that? When?
In the bulletin.
No.
No, Diane will handle
them out. Oh, Diane's going to hand them out.
We'll have it next Sunday at the back of the church.
That's on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Next Tuesday.
So she'll hand them out to you, and then you return them to her, and she'll collect them and give them to the elders.
And I'll have three lines on it, so you can put three names, or two more.
Or fill in 12, if you want.
Well, but we're only going to consider the names that are on the lines. If you put 17 more people on your slip of paper,
oh, so
be the ones on the line.
You need more slips, don't you?
One slip.
Don't mess it up. Yes. That's a good question. So, past 3 months, we've been working through this on Wednesday night. So the difference is the deacon is the practical ministry part of the church.
And what does he do?
He would do whatever the elders asked him to do. So it would be the practical side. If so-and-so needs a toilet replaced or whatever, that person we would put in charge of that. The grounds person here at the church should take care of the grounds. It's just the practical side of the ministry at the elder's direction. Okay. Does that make sense?
What is an elder? What are his duties?
Elders are to teach the word and to pray.
Okay.
Acts 6. Yeah. So it's the and that's why we took so long through Wednesday nights to work through this is we've walked this path. And trying to condense 3 months of Wednesday nights into one answer to the question is difficult. But the practical side of the ministry is the deacon's role. The spiritual side of the ministry is the elder's role.
Elders is for scriptural?
Yes. Correct.
What if I have an issue with irrigation and I need somebody... Who do I call? Deacon or elder? I call.
You could call the elders, and then we would direct a deacon.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Is that something I can do?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. The way our church functions is not going to change drastically, okay?
So you're
going to
sit there and irrigate her?
I will give whatever the Lord provides, okay?
I won't do that. But when I needed help, I thought, what do I do? Who do I call?
Sure.
Can I call somebody?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pray and God provides?
Absolutely.
Yes, He always does, right?
Do you have the total?
Yes,
18
votes and 18 yes.
Okay, so it passes unanimously. Okay. All right. Next agenda item is... Yeah, membership. So we're discussion and possible action call for new membership of Smith Valley Baptist Church. Anyone interested in joining the church should state their desire to join and seek elder approval. So we do have some folks that have already sought out the elders, and the elders have talked to those people, met with those people, encouraged those people, and were ready to recommend them for church membership. Those being...
Start with Sherry Howells. Has expressed a desire to become a member of the church. She has had discussions with My wife had the first discussion with her about her salvation, and then she confirmed to me that she's actually been baptized twice, so she's double good.
She's wet. She's wet twice.
She actually, like many people, my wife included, was baptized twice, but she wasn't. Her first time, she was saved, profession of faith, and then baptized, and then she went to another church. It was the same kind of church, but they wouldn't accept the baptism done at the other church. So she had to be rebaptized in order to join that church. Now,
did you tell her she has to be baptized again?
She said no. I actually pastored, the first church I pastored was like that, okay? If you didn't come from that church, basically,
right.
And I had people that just wouldn't be baptized until they said, okay, I'm satisfied with my baptism, but if that's what I got to do to join this church, okay, I'll do it. And they did. And, those kind of folks understand, you know, okay, there are some things that, you know, are less important than other things. And so, Sherry, you have anything you'd like to add to that? Any specific thing that would... Anybody have any questions about of Sherry?
Your word, you know.
And this is...
Right, I'm wearing my holy pants today.
Yeah. So this is, important that elders have information. We might not know everything about somebody that... You know, if a family member or a relative or a friend or a neighbor or somebody knows things about somebody that, you know, would be inconsistent with them being a Christian and claiming to be a Christian and a member of their church, you know, that would be relevant for you to go to that person first and talk to them about it, okay? And then we deal with it from there, okay? So, anyway, that's number one. You're going to... talk about James and Samantha,
James and Samantha have been in the church for a while. I guess it was a couple years, huh?
So, Abraham and Sarah.
So they had expressed interest in wanting to join the church. Sam really likes that comment.
Yeah, you shouldn't tell me.
No, they cannot be included until it gives an appropriate testimony. Yeah, so.
That's the wrong denomination.
My daughter is actually responsible. It's not me, it's my daughter that is responsible for the evangelism that took place there. I was coaching soccer a couple years ago, and Marley was on Emily's soccer team, and Brooke would hang out with. You know, everybody on the sideline and reached out to him and invited him to church and said, hey, why don't you guys come? And they came to church at an actually difficult time in this church, a tumultuous time, after we had several people leave the church. And they are here. They've been faithful and stuck through it. James is actually helping Summer and I with teaching in the youth class on Sunday mornings and doing a fantastic job. Diligently studying the scriptures and just has shown the fruit of what I think a saved person should look like, and somebody that is expressing the ability and the want, the desire to give back and further, you know, almost in like a leadership position through teaching. So I'm thrilled to invite them to be members of the church. We've had conversations with them. And Travis baptized them. When did you guys get baptized? How long ago?
Almost a year ago.
So it's been quite a while. So both of them, I remember when you guys got baptized, and so I think it's appropriate to accept them as members, go forward with that. So.
What about Gary?
Yeah, and then Gary Wyckoff has been coming to church for quite a while. Gary's wife passed away, when was that? 2023.
January
23rd. That's right. Yeah, 2023. And you guys have been coming since before that, though.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah, we've known you and your wife for quite a while.
Yeah.
helped out when your wife was at home sick and you were her caretaker, and went through some hard times together doing that. You know, when the power was out for, I don't know, what, a week or so, and bring a generator over to your house. And so Gary stopped by my house a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I want to join the church. I want to be a member. Gary and I talked about that, has been baptized, and so he would be another person that would be invited to join the church as well. Probably overdue, you know. I mean, it needs to be said again that we have really struggled through this process with, is membership a biblical thing or not? Those of you who have been coming here for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I guess, is when that conversation started. And we've really, I mean, probably to much to the chagrin of some of you guys, like, beat that horse and beat that horse and beat that horse and talked about, I don't know where, you know, where do we go with this scripture? And I think really at the end of the day, I think membership is a good thing. But the problem I think that happens is membership doesn't necessarily equate authority, and like Travis said, just because you're a member doesn't mean you've got your ticket punched to heaven, you know. And so these are people that we know, these three individuals we know, we have fellowship with, we've done things outside the church with, you know, those different things. So you get to see somebody's character, you get to know who they are. And those are the things that we're looking at. When we ask somebody, do you want to be a member of the church? I think there should be some level of, I don't know, caution is the right word, but, you know, we want to know who you are. The church is, as some of you guys know from being here for 3 or 4 years, can be a place where if the wolves come in and cause problems, a lot of things can happen. So there needs to be some consideration, there needs to be some prayer about this, but I'm confident with these three that we're okay.
So we have actually four: Sherry, James, and Sam.
I'm confident with Sherry too. I was just talking about those three. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to be baptized again, though. Yeah. You got to get in the tank again. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Lake Tahoe.
Yes.
Paul Vodder talked to me.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he is the son of Bob and Gwen, so I think he's qualified. But he says that he had deliberately taken his time through the new Constitution and had read it thoroughly and agreed with all the lines of what we're moving to. And he would see, and I still want to become a member.
I still want to be a member. Okay, so Paul.
That's Paul. Is somebody talked to Paul? Is he been baptized?
Am I gathering that? He
just told me just exactly what I told you.
Okay, so we still need to follow up.
Only one.
Okay.
What's being said here?
Two different what?
You can come to our church at any point and not be a member.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be a member just means you get to sit through meetings like this.
It means you vote. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're not voting anymore.
Yeah, no, voting's over. Yeah.
Voting's over.
And what does it do?
What does it do? Why don't you research the scriptures and get back to me on that, okay? Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to be uncomfortable here because I'm along with Alvin. I have expressed my desire, and now it's gone nowhere. And my family's been coming to this church for several years, so now I'm feeling like you don't want us to be members. I'm in a very sensitive place in my life right now and what's happening, and so I'm very uncomfortable right now.
Okay.
Because I have expressed desire to be a member of this church. And when I first started coming, I said, how do you become a member? And you stated we're figuring that out.
Yeah.
And I have expressed...
So I'll take full responsibility for that because I was not sure what the Bible states about church membership.
I understand that.
And so working through that, now we've come to this place where, okay, we understand how we're going to operate. We believe that God has led us to this place. So there's a new day.
But Travis, I have said things after that new day, and here I am.
The new day is today, though.
I have spoken to elders about my desire and have never had an appointment or come talk to me or anything.
Okay. Our elders' meetings are open. You can come. We meet every...
Is that what we have to do? We have to come to an elder meeting?
You can do that.
Statement?
Absolutely.
I thought it was reaching out and then they'd meet.
Can't we come to you as well?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I would say this. It's Cheryl, right?
Cheryl and Devin, and then yes. I'm North.
North, yes. I would say that Nora has been coming for several years. Mm-hmm. I've spoken with her. I've spoken with Devin and her daughter Cheryl, and if she's requesting right now to be a member of the church, then I would say add her onto the roll.
Yeah, I would have no problem with that.
You know, I have no problem with you. You know, you are correct, because we have been debating.
Had we been pushing the membership ticket? Listen, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church where there was an invitation every Sunday. Come to the altar, do this, get right with God, all that kind of stuff. And I shied away from that because I didn't feel like that was the way that Scripture leads for us to put pressure on people to respond to what God is doing in your life. Okay? Join the church. That was one of the altar, you know, you come to the altar if you want to join the church. Okay? We didn't do that. We didn't do that because I wasn't sure that church membership was a biblical thing. You've been coming to our church a long time. I don't have a problem with you. I don't have an issue with your family. There's no issue here. If you felt like we don't want you, well, maybe that's me. Maybe that's me. But what I'm saying is, had we done like... y'all come and be a part of the church, we would have more members than we do. But the product of that in the South is you have a lot of members on a roll sheet, but they don't show up on Sunday morning. They don't come to church.
Does that?
And they don't participate in church activities and that sort of thing. If you want to become a member, well, I would not have a problem with recommending you for church membership and anybody else.
Sorry.
So,
go ahead.
Alton.
So, I can just say ditto.
Yeah.
What you just said. And I'll also have to say that this is a very, very uncomfortable situation to be in and have this discussion in public.
That's the meaning behind coming to the elders, so that you don't have to have that opportunity to have this in a public forum. You come to the elders, you talk to the elders. The elders would then recommend church membership. But I have no problem with Alton. I've talked with Alton. I know his testimony. I know where he comes from. I know who he is. And I would have no problem welcoming him as a church member. So there's two more names, Nora and Alton.
Can I have some last names here?
Thank you.
Is membership biblical?
Is it?
That's what we're talking about.
That's what we have discussed for months.
I believe that the scriptures allow leniency in church membership. The state of Nevada says you are going to... I understand, Ms. Carol, but we are where we are. God has put us here. So let's just... can we just do something? Let's just transition to the scriptures real quick. Let's go to Jeremiah 29.
All right.
Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Everybody knows the verse, right? It's the coffee cup verse. 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to what? Prosper you. Plans for your good. That's what God said to a specific group of people.
Right.
Okay. Welfare. No, read it out loud, Lawrence.
Okay.
Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and hope." A future and hope. Those are the plans that the Lord has for you.
So here we are in Nevada in 2025. In the United States, where the world around us seems to be crumbling. And we pit this, you know, we've done this contrasting. We're in the midst of it. Crazy culture versus the biblical, the classic Christianity culture on Wednesday nights. So do we just get so fed up with the way the world operates and we just disconnect ourselves from the way the world operates? Or do we grow where God has put us? And God has planted us. We all know this verse, 29:11, that says, yeah, you've got a hope, you've got a future, you've got good things coming to you. And it's on our coffee cups, it's on our t-shirts, it's on our bumper stickers, it's everywhere. Look at what the Bible says. Look at the verse in context. Go back to verse 1. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive.
There you go.
Did you hear what just happened? So this is in 597 BC, and Israel has just been captured. By who?
Babylon.
They're in a world where there's nothing about God.
It's God's judgment.
It was God's judgment. Look at verse 4. Who put him there? Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. God caused that. You see, when we put that verse on the coffee cup, I know the plans I have for you.
Plans to...
We just lifted it out of context, kicking and screaming, and going, well, God must want the best for me.
Right.
And God wants my health to be perfect. And God wants every day to be unicorns and rainbows.
Millionaires.
What about verse 4, where it says, I put the boot of your oppressor on your neck.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Yep.
Why?
Because
you did not obey what I said. And so I'm putting you in a foreign land. I'm removing you from any context of spirituality that you have. I'm taking you out of that, and I'm going to place you somewhere.
Put you chastising.
And Israel could have... Listen, Daniel's right there. He's in the midst. So I'm teaching on Daniel, so you're going to get some overflow here. At summer camp. But and Daniel's in the mix. He's right there. And they're trying to Babylonize Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They're trying to teach them. They're trying to brainwash them into their culture. Give them their books. Give them their ideas. Help them worship their gods. That sort of thing. And it would be easy for believers to go, you know what? This world is a mess. I'm just going to disconnect. I'm just going to go up on some mountain, live my own life, do my own thing, and just be with God. That's not what he tells them to do. Look at verse 5. You build houses. You dwell in it. You plant gardens. You eat their fruit. You take wives. You beget sons and daughters. You give your sons and your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and increase, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city. You live there. You put down roots in Babylon. Why? Because when the city's blessed, you're blessed too. You pray for the person that's oppressing you. That's hard for believers to understand. So here we are in the state of Nevada, and they say you got to have this document. They say you got to have membership. They get. We're many don't know this, but we operate with a special permit. We're not commercial. Do you know that permit comes before the county every 5 years? And at any of those 5 year increments, they could say, nope, that's not church property. We're shutting it down. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That can happen. So we live in the city. We pray for the city. We pray for its welfare. We put down roots and we do according to what we can do to live in accordance with the law. As long as it does not violate the scripture. When they say you can't have church because of COVID-24, and we go, no, we're meeting, do what you got to do, that's different. But as long as God blesses the city we're in, he's blessing us too. We're a part of that. And that's what church is. It's being planted where God has put us. Do we believe that God is sovereign?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Because here's what happens. When you read Jeremiah 29:11, you go, okay, God has plans for me. And you go to the doctor and you get a bad report. Now you have to do some mental gymnastics. Now you have to wonder, okay, if God really has a plan for my hope and my future, then what is this cancer word about? Well, then maybe God's not sovereign. Or maybe I just got in the way of God. Maybe I didn't have enough faith. The problem with that is, if you think God messed up because you wronged him, you've never righted him. You've never done it right. And so there's an issue there. Or maybe there's another player. Maybe Satan's just more powerful than God. And God's going, you know, I really wanted this to work out for your benefit, but Satan was just too strong.
Not.
God is sovereign. He puts us where he wants us for his glory, his pleasure. We get to enjoy it, or we get to bellyache about it.
I told you.
She's just happy she don't live in church. Could be worse. You could be in Silver Springs. But that's the point. God put us here. So the state of Nevada says, well, you got to have this document. Okay. All right. You got to go for your special use permit. Okay. That's what we do. And we keep planting the gospel in people's hearts. I love what he says about you grow kids. You grow kids. We're going to grow a church, even through Sam. We're going to grow a church. That's what God does. Because you put the gospel in these kids, and that's going to go for years beyond you. That's what we're doing with Vacation Bible School. That's what we're doing. We're putting the gospel so that it can last beyond us. Listen, 50 years from now, if the building's still here and the church is still standing, somebody else will be preaching. Probably. I'll be 97.
99. 50 years.
99. Okay. Give or take a year. You'll be 127. Let's talk about your age. But this is beyond us. This is bigger than us. And it always was supposed to be. Because he chose us from before the foundation of the world. Why? For his glory.
Yep.
And he's eternal. He's eternal. And so what we do tonight on April, what is it, the 30th? What we do tonight really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. God is always in control. He's always in control. So, that being said, let's vote on new membership. Alton, do you want to become a member of Smith Valley Baptist Church?
There's no voting.
No voting.
No voting. No, that's not.
We don't vote anymore. Yeah. So membership.
Okay. So, Alton, do you want to be a member of our church? Nora, do you want to be a member of our church? Sherry, do you want to be a member of our church?
Yes.
Still? Gary? Okay. James? Samantha? Even after I said all the bad things about you? Okay. You've already lived through it. Yeah,
might as well. When did the elders vote tonight, or when we don't know?
We already voted. We already voted. The smoke is rising.
That's worse than my comment.
I have a question.
So,
hold on just a minute.
Do the elders have to okay membership?
Yes.
Yes.
Because there's an elder led church now, not membership.
Yes.
So we don't know what they do.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Is that not the way it is in Scripture?
Is
no?
How is it? Show us the Scripture. That's what we've done for 2 years. We've asked people to show us the Scripture. How it's done in the Scriptures. That's what we want. If you show us in the Scriptures, we'll change it.
Yeah.
Nobody, no pastor, no lay person, no book that's been written. There's been nothing for 2 years that has been contrary to what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, the closest you can get, and that's what I was going to say, get used to this. This is what the New Testament church looked like. They built consensus. That's different than democracy.
Yeah.
Okay? Democracy is a 51% vote. Consensus is where the saying pleases the whole
man. Acts 6, yeah.
Acts chapter 6. So get used to this way of being involved with your church.
Now, well, let me read the scripture here. For this reason, this is Titus chapter 1. He's talking to Titus. Paul is writing a letter to Titus, young preacher. He says, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking. You should set in order the things. So he's ministering to a church body. He's preaching the word on the Sabbath. And he's ministering to this church body. And Paul says, I left you there for this purpose. You should set in order the things that are lacking. He didn't say, go to the church members and figure out what's lacking and then set that in order. He told Titus, you know what's lacking. You fix it. You do this. This is what he said. You appoint elders in every city as I've commanded you. And then he goes into the qualification of the elders. There was no voting on the elders. There was no calling. And in this passage, not in other passages, but in this passage, there's not even really laying on of hands, ordaining, or that sort of thing. He told Titus, listen, boy, there are some things that are lacking where you're trying to serve. They're hindering the gospel. That's causing a problem. Here's what you do to fix it. Appoint the elders. Get some men who are qualified to serve in these positions so that the gospel will not be hindered anymore. That's what we're trying to do. And albeit, I mean, that's not the way that most churches function today. Most churches function on a 51% vote because we live in America, right? America. That's what we do. Hopefully, your elders, you've entrusted yourself to the elders enough to believe that they're spiritually looking out for your souls so that they put the right leadership in place. And if that becomes a problem, then you have to address that with the elders. One of the things that this does is it encourages us to come alongside of each other. Church discipline, the things that we operate, you know, in with membership and how we do that, it encourages us to get involved. Even the process of selecting deacons. You go to that person, you go to that man and say, hey, I'm thinking about nominating you as a deacon. It gives you an opportunity to build that bridge. Where otherwise you show up on Sunday morning, you're here for an hour, you're here for 2 hours, you hang out, and then you leave. No, God called us to do life together. That's so when she has a problem with irrigation, she picks up the phone and says, hey, I got this issue. I need some help. Sherry's washing machine broke. I need a dolly. I need some help. That's what God's called us to do, life together. And church doesn't need to be on a Sunday morning for an hour and then we're done. It needs to be us getting involved in each other's lives. That's what this does. I'm encouraged. I'm excited. Because I think God is doing something amazing in this group of people. And as I said, you think doing church is hard now? Just wait. It's going to get more difficult as the days go on. It's going to get more difficult. Judy?
So, are you going to give us an idea of the eligible
for the
deacon?
Where did you move to class?
Yeah.
So, for the past 3 months on Wednesday night, we've been working through this.
Any male who is a church member is eligible to be nominated. That's as much as we're going to take.
First Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13. Now, let me get on the soapbox. Just for a second. I won't keep you long. How many of you have ever seen this question in a Bible study?
It does not matter.
Raise your hand if you've ever seen this question in a Bible study.
Yeah, that's not a good one.
It doesn't matter.
It's not supposed
to. You can look at Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God, my favorite Bible study I've ever done. And it's in there. This does not matter.
Correct.
Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't matter what it means to you. It matters what does this verse mean. That's the bottom line. If we're doing something that steps outside of the bounds of Scripture, as elders, it's your responsibility as church members to bring that to our attention. The way you perceive it often is different than what is written in the Word. The way we interpret it may be different. The way we apply it may be different. But if we're doing something that is contrary to what the verse means, we have a problem. We have to address. We have to fix that problem. Well, what does it mean to me? What does it mean? And that's vitally important. Hopefully, that has been the heartbeat that has driven this slow train to where we are tonight. Okay? You remember how long it took us from being a pastor-led church to an elder-led church. It was a long process. And there were people in that process that said, if you become elder-led, I will leave the church. Okay, we're trying to do things scriptural. Show me where it says in the Bible I'm doing something wrong. And I mean, the challenge is there. The challenge is there. But as long as we're doing what the scripture says, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. Yes, Kim.
Can you bridge the gap on if our state didn't require this, we wouldn't have it, but then we wouldn't have membership. But if we have membership, we still have to go to an elder to approve that membership. What's that gap in there? Why can't anybody just join the church if it's just a state thing saying we have to have it?
Oh, because
I'm part of my family and I'm protecting the sheep dog.
Yeah. There's responsibility attached to that.
Communion.
Yeah.
If I had
in some place.
Because we all used to vote.
I'll just give an example. He's dead now, so I'll just give this example. So Jimmy Moss, I baptized Jimmy Moss. It was a spur of the moment baptism. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. It was a Sunday morning. It was one of them altar call things, which is always a disaster for me. Not always, but he said, I'm going to go home and get some shorts, and I'll come back, and we're doing baptism that afternoon. I want to be baptized, so I baptized him. And then some of you know Jimmy Moss's, the rest of the story, mm-hmm. was he shot a guy, and then he tried to kill a policeman in Douglas County and ended up losing his life over that. And I wish there was no association with our church. However, when the article came out, he was a member at Smith Valley Baptist Church. So there's responsibility that goes along with that. And there's responsibility from both sides. Me to you, you to me. It's like you tell your kids, you don't just represent you represent me too. So there's a burden there.
So even if you didn't have this, and in theory you attended this church long enough, an elder or somebody should be talking with you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's stuff related to this, even
yeah.
if you didn't have it.
That's right. Yeah.
Travis, may I just say something? I think where most people are a little apprehensive about all this is because the communication in this church, and I'm speaking to Nora specifically, the communication in this church has not always been forthcoming. There have been, and you've always opened the meetings up, I've heard you numerous times say if you have a concern, you know, the elders' meetings are open,
right.
just come. I understand that. I think a lot of new people might feel intimidated going before the elders, so I would hope that our elders would take it upon themselves to seek out those new people that have been coming and are diligent to come.
And let me say this too. So even tonight, we've discovered that if you haven't been a part of Wednesday night
right.
opportunities, you're missing a lot of Smith Valley Baptist Church.
Yeah.
You're missing out on a lot of life that happens in the church if you don't participate on those Wednesday night meetings. And so, I mean, the communication, it has to go both ways, right? I mean, it has to.
Sure.
But you're right, and we got to do a better job of that, and hopefully this will help us. Yes.
In the past, sometimes there would be like inside the handout, filling out your name, your phone number,
your directory, yeah.
That's what we do from time to time. I don't know if we're still going to do that.
Yeah.
Whatever, but I mean, that would be kind of like an opportunity to like, hey, and when you mention that, hey, there's a, and the handout, you're going to see, you can put your name, your phone number, da-da-da. If you want to become a member of a church, you can talk to one of the elders. Or if you know somebody else, and other people, Judy, if you know somebody that wants to be a part of this church, have them talk to one of our elders, or you talk to us. And we'll come and talk to
you. And do you guys know, I mean, Summer does this too. I have a directory in my office, and I pray for five names every day.
Thank you.
Five families every day. I pray for those names on our directory. I just pray through the directory list. So if you didn't put your name down, I'm not praying for you. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I do use that to pray for our church.
You know, real quick too, though, I just gotta say, because we started attending about 2 years ago when you guys first brought up the membership debate, and you were pretty transparent about it. And I thank you guys, because I think it's been a really transparent process. You've involved us on Wednesdays. I know you guys have mentioned some stuff on Sundays, and it's been fun to learn along with you guys as you come to these conclusions that we see here.
I wouldn't call it fun, but
because this is something that as an LDI church, that might be something that you guys could do in your elder meetings on your own, but you did involve all of us. You have opened up the opportunity to show different scriptures in different ways, right? And I haven't been a part of other churches either, so this has been a...
This is what you get.
Well, it's been a good experience is what I'm trying to say, because I can see how that can go in a lot of different directions. So yeah.
I'll tell you, COVID was the most challenging moment of my life, and it was a long moment. There were times it was very difficult, and as elders, we were talking every day, we were meeting every day, we were trying to process and work through this, and there wasn't unity. God had to bring us to a place of unity, and He did. He's faithful to do that, and we grew a lot through that, so we learned a lot. Ms. Carol?
So now I understand this. We are no longer a pastor-led church. We are now an elder-led church.
That's correct. Yeah.
And when did that become voting this?
No, that's been in process for quite some time. Yeah.
2017.
It's when 17.
2017.
Yeah.
2017. We placed elders in here, and we've been working in the shadows, and you haven't even known it.
What we did.
Well, you did notice something.
I never knew that.
What we did was we underestimated how congregational and pastor-led churches have infiltrated our whole country, and we underestimated the process that it would take. The transitioning that it would take. That's why 3 years ago, we had people stand up on Wednesday night, a network of people stand up on Wednesday night and say, I don't trust the elders of this church. Okay? Part of that was because they'd been in congregational-led churches, pastor-led churches. They didn't know how to respond to a pluralistic leadership in the church, which is biblical. Okay? So, I understand.
Well, I'm not the top dog. I'm not. And one man couldn't be.
So
over 100 people.
That's right. 3 years ago, had we not been an elder-led church, it's likely that he wouldn't be the pastor now.
Why?
Because it was stress and pressure put on that singular leadership position to conform to what people wanted to do. And the five elders stood together and said, no, that's not going to happen. Okay. So there was a movement afoot. You may not know about it. No, others may not know that. There was a movement afoot to rise up against the elder-led church that we had. Fortunately, we'd already...
3 years ago?
This was 3 years ago. In June, it'll be 3 years ago. Happened on Wednesday night, right here. So if you miss Wednesday nights, you're liable to miss the biggest church.
Could have happened.
We hope
I was there.
But that's... Is that accurate?
That's accurate. That's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have resigned after that meeting.
So Travis...
I would have resigned.
Most pastors would not have withered.
I would have left.
Yeah. Most pastors would not have withered that kind of uprising on their own. Okay? And that happens in Baptist churches everywhere, in other denominations as well. Okay? So it's easy to get a pastor convinced that for the good of the church, you ought to just step down. Pastors are easily convinced of that when it may not be God's will.
I can preach anywhere. I mean, I can do that anywhere. This is where God called me. And you better know that for sure.
I think we do.
Because, well, not we. I better know that, because there are going to come times in your ministry where you're going, I don't feel the love, God. I don't feel like I'm supposed to be doing this. I need to be somewhere else. And
yeah,
I
you
need
don't
something
know if that
else.
Came from God.
No, but I would have left after that meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that violent.
It was awful.
And I would have signed my resignation if somebody said, here, resign, I'll do it. So, but God is good. God, you trust Him, He grows you through that. He whacks off the unnecessary parts that you don't need anymore, and He grows what you need. Well, yeah.
So, Travis?
Yes.
After you talked about that, about the COVID thing, and if you were by yourself, you wouldn't have been able to go to the whole congregation for voting. What do we do? So I do thank God that you have the elders, and like you said, for the meeting that I didn't make that night.
Yeah.
Thank God you have the elders, because you couldn't have gone to the whole congregation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was... God knew what He was doing when we put church together. So.
So all these many, many years we were pastor-less.
That's how the church was started, yes.
And not congregationally led.
Well, you were congregational-led with the pastor's leadership. Because that's the model that the culture we grew out of. Yeah. So.
But we have to be above them.
No, we are.
We're supposed to be. All right, let's pray. I need a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're not a voting church. That doesn't matter.